If you have a question or comment about today's teaching, send an email to contact@thewordendures.org.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
John, the beloved disciple, voices what surely they all realize by now. It is the Lord! Another encounter on probably the next Sunday, and there's a bunch of them together.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily, verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of John.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Remember the lesson last time. Don't miss church. Don't miss that assembly where Jesus gathers his own on the day of resurrection, the Lord's day, and gives them the gift of faith. Thomas faltered in faith after missing out, and that's not surprising. Faith always comes as gift given, where Jesus is present in his words and his wounds. It's not something you possess. It's something he delights to always give you. And John told you that everything that he wrote down about Jesus was so that you might have faith, that you might come to confess with Thomas that Jesus is your Lord and your God. Picking up then the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter, beginning at the first verse. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on them, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. John 21, verses 1 through 14. Let us pray. Oh God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You ready to enjoy more of the joys of Holy Easter? Let's do it. Verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. I noted last time that it almost sounded like John was wrapping up his gospel with chapter 20, but here's an addendum, I suppose we could call it, and it is wonderful. Now, in Matthew, Jesus told Peter and the others, "But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee," 26:32. In connection with them all being scattered, "I'll meet you back home," he's saying. That's the import of that. And the same is recorded in Mark 14, verse 28. And in Mark 16, verse 7, Jesus tells Mary to tell Peter and the others that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And similarly in Matthew 28:10. So in Matthew, the risen Christ is mentioned appearing to the disciples only in Galilee with the so-called Great Commission. Mark does mention an appearance on Easter evening, still in the vicinity of Jerusalem then. But the big appearance is in Galilee with, again, a Great Commission. Luke only mentions the appearing in Jerusalem. John, however, mentions both. The first two Lord's days were there in Jerusalem. And now the account you're about to hear in Galilee by the Sea of Tiberias. Verse 2, Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. We left them in Jerusalem on the second Sunday after the resurrection. Probably now that they were all convinced that he had risen, it was time to do what he said and hightail it back to Galilee. So off they go. And it is suggestive that their fishing takes place in the dark. No signs of Jesus in the meantime, and so off they go to the lake to return to their old ways. I've heard Pastor Burnell Eckert point out that this might well be the third Sunday of Easter, for it would be after the Sabbath that they would set to their work again. Peter proposes, and with him go Thomas, he's listed first right after Peter, Nathanael, James, and John, and two others. I'm betting on Andrew and his buddy Philip. But it's a frustrating night on the lake. No fish at all. Verse 4. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of the fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As Mary didn't recognize him at first, or the Emmaus disciple, so here, they can't make out who it is. He's standing on the shore, and maybe even with the sunrise right behind him, casting his long shadow across the lake. "Children," he calls them. "Children, do you have any fish?" Perhaps it was a bit of a sore question. "No," is the only answer they give to this one they think is a stranger. But then he says, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." Did any of them roll their eyes at that? Or were they beginning to get a premonition? They throw it on the right, and suddenly it's filled. Filled so full they can't even haul it in. So many fish, and such large ones, as we'll hear. John, the beloved disciple, voices what surely they all realize by now. "It is the Lord!" Another encounter on probably the next Sunday, and there's a bunch of them together. This time, though, breakfast, not supper. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." Well, how like Peter. He didn't want to appear before Jesus disrobed, so he throws his garment on only to jump into the sea so that he can get to Jesus as fast as he can. A very drenched Peter leads the way with the others guiding the boat and dragging that ridiculously full net behind them, for the 100 yards or so it took to reach the shore. Did Peter come up short when he saw it? Jesus was there, tending a charcoal fire. You remember the last time we had mention of a charcoal fire? Peter warming himself in the courtyard of the high priest as Jesus is being examined. Jesus already has some breakfast going, some fish laid out for them and some bread, fish and loaves. Now, where have we met that before? Oh, yeah, John 6. But Jesus sends them back for the fish that he had just given them. The Lord of the sea, after all, had commanded all those fish to swim into the net on the right side of the boat. Verse 11. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. St. Augustine contrasted the account here after the resurrection with the account that Luke gave in the calling of Peter and Andrew, James and John to discipleship. You see the difference? There, the net broke. Now, the net does not break. Augustine sees that as the difference between the church as she lives in this age with lots of unbelievers mingled with the believers, and so they're always escaping in and out of the church, and as she is finally sorted out on the last day. He writes, what is meant by the words? Now they were not able to draw it, but this, that those who belong to the resurrection of life, that is to say, to the right hand, and depart this life within the nets of the Christian name, will be made manifest only on the shore. In other words, when they shall arise from the dead at the end of the world. Accordingly, they were not able to draw the nets so as to discharge into the vessel the fishes they had caught, as was done with all of those wherewith the net was broken, and the boats laden to sinking. But the church possesses those right-hand ones after the close of this life in the sleep of peace, lying hid, as it were, in the deep, till the net reach the shore, whither it is being drawn. Verse 12. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. The disciples eating together in the presence of Jesus after he rose from the dead. And this being, as John makes clear, the third appearance to the disciples. So you have the first Sunday, the second Sunday, and this likely as the third Sunday. And Jesus comes among them and feeds them. Timothy Dudley Smith has summarized this whole account and its connection to the Lord's Day in a recently written hymn that I have really come to treasure. Listen to these words. Long before the world is waking, morning mist on Galilee, from its shore as dawn is breaking, Jesus calls across the sea, hails the boat of weary men, bids them cast their net again. So they cast, and all their heaving cannot haul their catch aboard. John, in wonder, turns, perceiving, cries aloud, it is the Lord. Peter waits for nothing more, plunges in to swim ashore. Charcoal embers, brightly burning, bread and fish upon them laid. Jesus stands at day's returning, in his risen life arrayed, as of old his friends to greet. Here's breakfast, come and eat. Christ is risen. Grief and sighing, sins and sorrows fall behind. Fear and failure, doubt, denying, full and free forgiveness find. All the soul's dark night is past. Morning breaks in joy at last. Morning breaks, and Jesus meets us, feeds and comforts, pardons still. As his faithful friends, he greets us, partners of his work and will. All our days on every shore, Christ is ours forevermore. We're almost done our walk through St. John's Gospel, but we still have a bit more that John wants to teach us about Jesus. So till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.